Good morning, everyone. As I said before, we were asked to help out a little bit more this year, and so take the masses, give the homilies, and then about 15 minutes before mass time, so to speak, we were asked to preach about various topics. I'm exaggerating a little bit, it wasn't 15 minutes, but one of the things that they wanted to speak, wanted me to speak on, at least today, was the family consecrations, consecration to Jesus, and then, of course, the power of that grace. And that's precisely what I'm going to do, and I'm going to kind of back into it. I'd like to kind of give a brief history, if you will, and a brief history of why the Conachers saw this consecration as so necessary. And we can start off with today's gospel in this. Jesus said, "Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles." Now, what we need to recognize is that in that time, the Jews were under a foreign occupation. And it was often the case that the Romans could do just that, press someone into service. And so Jesus told them, well, don't just go 1 mile, go two. Now, this gospel today is in general speaking about detachment, but this aspect of foreign occupation is actually quite fitting. It's quite fitting for the reality of our times, because our culture is falling under the influence of a foreign domination. Go into the history of this. I'd like to go all the way back to the year 1846, about 173 years ago, with Pope Pius IX. Pope Pius IX, in one of his encyclicals, he condemned a nefarious ideology. And he condemned it very strenuously because he said it would destroy culture. It would actually destroy society itself. And he said it was being spread throughout the world at great cost. And you have to think about how that would take place. That would mean that men and women would have to be placed in various countries of the world to teach this doctrine, to plant the seeds of this doctrine. So it would really take great cost. And then what that means, obviously, then, is that there is great wealth behind this proceeding. Great wealth was behind it. We could say men of huge finance, international bankers, if you will, businessmen. This ideology, this nefarious ideology, was an atheistic ideology that was opposed to God, opposed to Christian morality. And its goal, the goal of it, was to establish a super race of men. Men freed from the shackles of Christian morality, as they would have it, to live in whatever way they saw fit. Now, this condemned ideology, Pius IX called communism. Now, what we have to recognize is that this was 1846, 2 years before Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto in 1848. So the so-called father of communism wasn't really the father of communism at all. He was just an instrument in a chain of events. But the genius of Marx was that he took this vague ideology and he transformed it into a concise plan of action. Marx gave to these men of huge finance the task, or the tool, I should say, the tool they needed to bring about their super race. Now, what's important for us to recognize is that this tool has been refined from different parts of the world. For some parts of the world, it took the form of violent revolution. For other parts of the world, it took the form of a cultural revolution. And this cultural revolution is the form that it took in this country. For example, the Communist Party USA was responsible for feminism. It was responsible for the establishment of feminism. It was responsible for the establishment of the homosexual movement. It was responsible for the establishment of the anti-Christian movement. It was an attack on, feminism, to start out with. It was an attack on women. It was a specific attempt to make them not want to be mothers, not want to be wives. It made it out to be a dreary life. It made women out to be victims of a patriarchal society, and it worked very well. I remember talking with young women when I was in college who were very much saturated with this idea of being a wife and mother. The homosexual movement was set out to redefine marriage, and it's doing just that. The anti-Christian movement, first of all, was set up to get prayer out of the schools, and then the Bible out of the schools, the crucifixes out of the schools, the Ten Commandments out of the schools. And of course, the war was always against the family. Why? Well, St. John Paul II told us that God in his most intimate mystery is family. Not like a family, he is family. The church, in its existential, metaphysical existential reality, is a family. And so, of course, they want to attack the family, the nucleus of society, the domestic church. Hence, you can see the reason why Jerry and Gwen Conacher saw the need for a family apostolate. You can see why they saw the need for a family consecration to Jesus through Mary. That's the history of it. But now we can take a look at what God is offering us as a means to combat this. We can take a look at the power of the sacraments, of the liturgy, and we can take a look at the power of the consecration to Jesus through the sacraments and the liturgy. We can go back to the Old Testament just to get an idea of the power of liturgy. The first Exodus, being freed from Egypt, was brought about through a liturgical event. The walls of Jericho were brought down through a liturgical event. the power of the liturgy. King David, a man after the heart of God, if we want to take a look at how the power of the liturgy can be brought into someone's life, his whole life as king was devoted to setting up the true liturgy of God. The high point, the apex of the Old Testament, was the construction and dedication of the temple for the offering of worship, of sacrifice to God. It was a liturgical event. He had a liturgical heart, and his kingship was empowered by this love for God and love for this liturgy, which was to bring about communion, family, and also to bring the Gentiles in. Now, in New Testament times, Jesus overcame the world. He combined liturgy and life through the Last Supper and the cross. The institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday made the cross on Friday a sacrifice. And so he combined liturgy and life, overcoming the world through the power of the liturgy and bringing that power out into life in his sacrificial offering on the cross. The family consecration to Jesus, your family consecration to Jesus, is a powerful means of your daily life being Eucharisticized, if you will, steal a phrase from Dr. John Bergsma, Eucharisticized by the power of the liturgy for the transformation of our culture, of our society, of our country. Your life is combined with the liturgy in a powerful way through your family consecration to Jesus. But your consecration needs to be lived. Your consecration needs to be lived. It's not enough just to come to the family fest for a week in the summer. This is a It's a quickening of your spiritual life. But the question that you have to ask yourselves is, are you living the seven keys of this consecration, the seven keys to God, of this, that's this, these seven keys of the center to family living? Are you developing your prayer life? Are you living a sacramental life? Are you learning the faith? Are you taking advantage of the time on Sundays, ideally, but other days, if not possible on Sundays, to learn the faith, to take advantage of that? Are you striving to grow in virtue? Are you leaving your comfort zones to serve others? Are you sharing the faith with others? Now, of course, your primary responsibility is to share your faith with your children, and that should be your primary responsibility. If we're going to be sharing the faith with those outside of the family, well, we need to build up the right to be able to do that. And that requires goodwill. That requires sacrifice. That requires going out to help them, to be with them, to spend time with them. And then once you have a relationship established with them, then they'll be open to talk about the faith. And then, of course, are you sanctifying your daily duties with your very consecration? Our Lady of Fatima said, we need constant offerings of prayer and sacrifices. Now, the only way we can make such a constant offering is by giving this intention to everything we do throughout the day. Our prayer, our work, our recreation, our leisure, our eating, our sleeping, all of this should be as an intention offered to God for a constant offering of prayer and sacrifice. The best form of this habitual intention is a consecration. It is the consecration to Jesus through Mary. Your consecration made and lived out through the seven keys makes your lives eucharisticized and powerful. Powerful enough even to take back the culture of the United States of America. Amen.